Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Distributed to all on our planet. We include in our meditation the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decisions out of the context of the power of love rather than the love of power. Notice your thoughts. If your thoughts are in the past or in the future, gently bring to the present moment, to right now. I ask you to envision white light moving up your spinal pathway and focus your attention at the point between your eyebrows. I speak these words for me, and I speak these words for you in the I person. There truly is one presence, one power. It is the fullness of divine wisdom and creativity and unconditional love. It is everywhere present, omnipresent. Therefore, it not only is around me and in me, but I am immersed in it. Therefore, it expresses through me and as me in all ways, for all ways. Today I embody a larger vision for my life and the infinite presence and power in, through, and as me now produces grander results. I dare to remind myself that the only one who can limit my expression and my experience is me. The small me that I think that I am when I sometimes have forgotten who I really am. Divine wisdom and divine mind moving through me and as my consciousness constantly presents greater ideas to replace those which are no longer appropriate. I now consciously choose the way I desire to be, what I desire to think, and how I desire to feel. I am in direct alignment with the infinite principle of life, and it responds to me according to my intention and choices. Therefore, I intend and I choose to say yes fully to life. There is one life, that life is God, and that life is my life now. I'm ready and willing to live in yesness to God's life in, through, and as me. And I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is.
Thank you. My topic this morning is say yes to life. There's no accidents in the universe, is there? The new millennium is truly calling us to new heights of mastery. Yes? Being spiritually aware, a master at the art of living. Neil Donald Walsh says something about mastery like this: to remain unperturbed in the face of life's worst experiences. Science terminology, we were engineered for success in scientific terminology. In theological terminology, we could say God godded God's self as us. So we're like godlings and co-creative with the creative power. So today, in speaking about say yes to life, I want to make three main points. First of all, in our unfoldment of consciousness, I think it's very important for us to know and be clear about our yeses and nos in life and what those yeses and nos entail and result when we're saying them. And then there is a very critical and important attribute that's absolutely necessary for us to fulfill living, saying yes to life fully. And I'll get into that in a few minutes. And then third is that the message that this truly tells us and the world is that it's not too late and not to wait to be the person that we have come to the planet to truly be. Not to wait. The last 2 weeks, my topics have been, oh no, now what do I do? And choice instead of chance. And those two topics feed in and dovetail very well with this morning's topic, say yes to life. Because I've been speaking about that we're on this unfoldment of consciousness from simple consciousness to self-consciousness to cosmic consciousness. And when we're birthed into simple consciousness, it is very similar like animals. It's stimulus and reaction. And then hopefully we're placed into an environment, being our family of origin, and we're birthed and fully developed, and our potential for self-consciousness is there. And then it comes to fruition because of the environment that we're placed into. And self-consciousness is truly being able to reflect upon ourselves and to come to clear, conscious choice, clear conscious choice. I've been reading several books at one time, as I normally do, but one of the books that I'm enjoying very much is by Walter Starkey, and it's called It's All God. And he says it like this: the time has come because of the evolution of consciousness, that we can actually, and in quotations, let the mind be in you that was in Jesus the Christ. And at the center here, when we talk about Jesus the Christ, it was the Christ consciousness that he portrayed with no barriers to his full self-expression, and he was the template to call us to live like that also. Starkey continues, because of our unfoldment of consciousness, we're now able to digest larger bites, using kind of computer language, of scientific, psychological, and spiritual truths than ever before. And we can follow our bliss and become intoxicated with life. So we've heard about other kinds of intoxication. How about being intoxicated with life? And because of this spiritual unfoldment, it's speeded up, and that spiritual maturing process, which used to take hundreds of years in the past, can now fulfill itself in just a few years. It's now possible for the maturing of spirituality in what has taken lifetimes of effort before, for us to move along in that very, very much more quickly. I mean, all we have to do is look at the children that are being birthed right now. Many of them are being born way ahead of where we were in consciousness when we incarnated into this life experience. I mean, when we were 5 and 6 and 7, we were struggling with ABCs, and now they're struggling with Windows. Things like that. Okay. So we're in this unfoldment of consciousness, and that when we choose something, we need to realize that when we choose something, we're unchoosing something else. When we say yes to something, it means we're saying no to something else. And when we say no to something, it means we're saying yes to something else. And in many topics before, I've reminded you that no can be a complete sentence, and it can be a very powerful complete sentence. And it certainly is very good in constructing our healthy boundaries. So it's easy to say no when we have a burning yes within us. Then we're very, very clear about what we're saying yes to. In the meditation, I said something about what we can conceive, or rather in our opening affirmation that we all said together, what we can, and we've heard this many ways before, what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. But we insert something else in there that's very, very important. What we can conceive in the mind and believe. And the thing that we're inserting is, and accept, we can achieve. So everything in our life we've attracted, and sometimes we say created, but there's really nothing created out of nothing, because there's always the stuff, the universal substance of the universe. So we're in attracting things into our life, and we promote and we allow and we step into. We live in a magnetic field of energy, and what we're seeking is seeking us. So that as long as we accept or reject our good, the infinite creator God must obey our request. That universal energy, life force, spirit, universal consciousness, or if we feel okay calling it God, always says yes. But you know what? That's not enough. We in our lives have to say yes too. We need to be receptive to what we say that we really desire and what we're praying for or imaging, or next week I'll be speaking about visualizing is realizing. Okay. When we say no to something, underneath it is probably, and when we say no to something, I'm not saying about when we're drawing healthy boundaries saying no. I'm saying when we say no to something that would be grand in our life, that would raise us to the next potential, when we say no to something like that, to our good, it's as if underneath we don't feel like we're truly deserving of it. So that attribute that I spoke about earlier, a very critical, important attribute that's necessary for us to truly say yes in life and yes in living, is the attribute of worthiness. Now, I'm not saying that there's worthy people and unworthy people. I'm saying that there are people who believe that they don't deserve and who believe that they are unworthy. And I bet, even in this congregation here this morning, there are some people that perhaps have 5, 10, 20, maybe 40 years of unlearning unworthiness. I remember many years ago when Norman and I were taking very powerful workshops in Edmonton, and we had a friend that used to come up to Calgary to take them, and during coffee time one time, she was sitting there saying, God, she says, it's taken me so long to get some of this stuff. And she says, you know, Gail, and I always used to sit in the front row in classes and in seminars. And she said, I'd watch you, the facilitator would say something, and I'd watch you, and you'd kind of nod your head. And she said, I'd get so blessed jealous of you because I didn't get it. And she said, and then I realized what it was that I have had, and this really, you know, like when she said it, she says, I have had 35 years of programming of unworthiness. She says, for the first 35 years in my life, I went to a type of religion that one of the prayers was to get down on our knees and to thump our chest and say, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. She says, no wonder I'm having a little bit of trouble letting in worthiness and deservedness. And you know, that made me think. Sometimes I feel sorry that I wasn't raised in it more of a religious context. And sometimes I'm very happy that I wasn't, because some religious contexts are not healthy and some are. But when we speak about spiritual things here at the center, it's not so much in the religious context, it's in the context of spirituality. It's not about dogma and creed out there. It's about spirituality and enhancing our relationship with ourselves, realizing that there is only one relationship. It's higher self, and for us to uncover, discover, and more fully express that out into life. Okay. So, it's important for us to hold ourselves and others worthy. There was a story about, I think it was kindergarten or grade one, and this teacher was wanting to show the children something, and she created like a little game of it. So she said, all right, there's whales and there's seahorses in this. She says, okay, all of the whales go over there, and all of the seahorses go over here. And then she felt a little tug, tug, tug. And she looked down, and there was a lovely little girl standing there. And she said, where do the mermaids stand? And the teacher said, there aren't any. And the little girl said, now there is, because I'm a mermaid. Like that. Man, become as little children, eh? Then there's another story about a little boy, and he had a little mirror, and he was sitting down, and he crawled on his daddy's lap, and his daddy tended to be quite a stern, serious type of man. And he looked at his daddy, and he said, Daddy, did God make you? And his daddy said, yeah, God made me. He said, Daddy, did God make me? He said, God made you. And he looked in the mirror and he said, I think God's doing a much better job of things now. Now sometimes, you know, we want our kids to be happy and smile, and we're walking around with sourpuss faces all over the place. Okay, so it's about saying yes to life, feeling worthy, and what we're really doing is we're moving from problem orientation to problem solving orientation to the orientation of living and remembering and being in the consciousness of God, presence, power, infinite wisdom, spirit, whatever you want to call it, intelligence, creativity, love, oriented like in, through, and as me, this person, and this situation. So that's a whole new shift in consciousness. And what this topic, you know, saying yes to life, really, the message that it really sends the world is that it's never too late to be who we were really meant to be. I was reading that Grandma Moses was 100 when she painted her masterpieces. Bertrand Russell was 94 when he was active in international peace drives, and Albert Schweitzer was 89 as head of hospitals in Africa, and Mother Teresa, I'm sure, was in her high 80s when she really moved forward in her humanitarian efforts. Sir Winston Churchill was 82 when he wrote The History of the English-Speaking People, and Beethoven became totally deaf and wrote his greatest music in those latter years when he was 46. Latter years. But how many people, when they're 20 and 30 and, you know, 40 and 50, may have a dream and with the same breath say, well, it would take me 6 years or 9 years to achieve that, and then I'll be 49 or 59. My question is, in 8 or 9 or 10 years, how old are you going to be anyway? You know, it's very, We cannot let ourselves off the hook by thinking that the world will improve by somebody else's efforts. Martin Luther King didn't sit back and say, somebody ought to stand up for civil rights. Gandhi didn't say, how can just one Indian attorney transform a nation? See, we have to remember that the power that we're immersed in also operates in, through, and as our life. And we can be a change for the better in the world. One of the things that may start to happen as we take a stand for our next level of unfoldment and consciousness, and as we truly step into saying yes fully in life, is that when we take that stand, anything unlike it will start to surface, and sometimes our life will go, we'll kind of look at it and go, ooh, this isn't very comfortable. What's happening here? I took a stand for maybe loving, supportive relationships or true prosperity or health, and then what might surface is anything unlike that. And what that truly is the universe, one consciousness, the universe assisting, supporting us, and showing us in our face, okay, you say you're a stand for this, then this is the next thing to break through. This is the next thing for you to move through, handle, and to have it be healed. Love at the core, that's why it's so perfectly timed for the fall from September to December. What usually happens is when people hear people talking about it all year, they make a commitment in their heart that I'm going to be it in the next one. And then when the sign-up sheets end up at the back and they put their name down, something very interesting starts to happen. What starts to happen is anything that needs to be healed out of that context of standing there saying, I'm a stand for love at the core and expressing it, anything that is unlike that starts surfacing for it to be healed. And of course, then when they're in the class, they're in an environment that's very conducive to that. You see, I acknowledge you for, you know, beautiful fall mornings, summer, fall morning, beautiful weather-wise, placing yourself into an environment, not the only environment here in Victoria, but one of the environments that is conducive to you remembering who you are as a spiritual being in healthy spirituality, and to move through whatever you need to move through to uncover and discover that. So please remember as we go through life, not to wait, and it's about the word someday and one of these days losing the grip on our vocabulary, okay? Now, everything that we ever want is already here. What's necessary is for us to get in harmony with it, in alignment with it, so that magnetically, electromagnetically, we draw it and attract it to us. Another way of saying it is act as if. Now, I'm not talking about putting on a mask and just pretending, but what it is like you look at your dream, and instead of looking to your dream, you step into the dream and you live out of it. I know I've shared with you before, Wayne Gretzky used to say, I go where the puck is going to be. That is very metaphysical. That's metaphysics. You see, so whatever your dream is, you step into it in consciousness and then you look from it, and as you look from it, you be as though it already was in fruition in your life. And as you be that, you attract whatever it needs to have it fully manifest in your life as a demonstration. And then it's like an answer to prayer. That's exactly what it is. In my closing moments with you, I want to read to you something that has meant a lot to me. I got it by email from a friend who's now living in Penticton. But before I do that, there's one other thing that I want to just mention, is that one of the other books that I'm reading is called The Heart's Code, and it's written by Dr. Paul Pearsall. Amazing book. I want to bring some information from it to you in the next few weeks, and especially in our six-week series that begins in the later on in the fall. But he says it like this: we know that the heart loves and feels, but do we know that the heart also thinks? This is a radical idea. The heart thinks, it remembers, and it communicates with other hearts, and it helps regulate immunity and contains stored information that continually pulsates throughout our body. So Pearsall speaks when he does lectures and writes of the cardio-energetics, and he calls it the L energy. And I just want to tell you a little bit about the power of this heart frequency. While normal frequency ranges of electrical activity of the brain are between 0 and 100 cycles per second, most of the brain's activity hovers between 0 and 30. Now he's speaking about the brain. The heart's normal frequency is 250 cycles per second. And I'm just like 40 pages into this book and I'm going, whoa. So since this he's talking about this electroenergetics energy, can travel in all other forms of energy, the heart may be the most powerful sender and receiver of energy. So next week I want to speak to you about visualizing is realizing, and also I want to introduce you to something that he's speaking about in that book called freeze frame. It's a technique that can allow us to change frequency and move ourselves from the head to the heart more quickly, and also dissipate the kind of energy around some negative situations or relationships possibly that haven't been quite so empowering or loving. And time does not permit me to go into that this morning. I want to close with this story. And as I tell you this story, I would like you to be in a way of looking in our own life, self-reflecting, asking ourselves the question, am I willing to truly say yes to living fully in life? My brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. This, he said, is not a slip. This is lingerie. He discarded the tissue and handed me the slip, and it was exquisite. It was silk and handmade and trimmed with a cobweb of lace, and the price tag with an astronomical figure was still attached to it. Jan, my wife, bought this the first time we went to New York at least 8 or 9 years ago. She never wore it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me, put it on the bed with the other clothes that we were taking into the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material for a moment, then he slammed the drawer shut and turned to me. Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you live is a special occasion. And I remember those words, and I remembered them through the funeral and the days that followed when I helped him and my niece attend to all the sad chores that followed an unexpected death. I thought about them on the plane ride returning back home from the town where my sister's family lived, and I thought about all the things she hadn't seen or done. I thought about all the things she had done without realizing that they were special, and I'm still thinking about his words, and his words changed my life. I'm reading more, and I'm dusting less. I'm sitting on the deck and admiring the view without fussing about the weeds in the garden. I'm spending more time with my family and friends and less with committee meetings. Whenever possible, life should be a pattern of experiences to savor, not endure. I'm trying to recognize those moments now and cherish them, and I'm not saving anything. We use our good china and our good crystal for every special event, such as maybe releasing a pound or getting the sink unstopped, or the celebration of the first rose. I wear my good blazer to the market if I feel like it, and my theory is if I look prosperous, I can shell out what it costs now for a small bag of groceries without wincing. And I'm not saving my good perfume only for special parties, because other people in my presence, they all have noses too. Someday in one of those days are losing their grip on my vocabulary. And if it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I want to see and hear and do it. I'm not sure what my sister would have done had she had known that she wouldn't be here for tomorrow, the tomorrow we all take for granted. I think she would have called family members and a few close friends. She might have even called a few former friends to apologize and mend fences and pass squabbles. I think she would have gone out more for Chinese dinner, which was her favorite food. All those little things left undone. That would make me regretful and possibly angry if I knew my hours were limited. Regretful because if I put off seeing good friends whom I was going to get in touch with someday, perhaps angry because I hadn't written certain letters that I intended to write one of those days. Regretful and sorry that I didn't tell my husband and children and those I love how much I truly love them. I'm trying very hard not to put off or hold back or save anything that would add laughter and luster to my life and their lives. And every morning when I open my eyes, I tell myself that it's special. And every day and every moment and every breath truly is a gift from God. And she ends with saying, you've got to dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never going to hurt. I invite you to take that into your heart,
start looking in places where perhaps you've said no to, that if you now said yes, I'm willing to fully live my life, that you would have a more empowered, a more joyous, and a more fully expressive life, because that's why you're really here. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.